To you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. The first segment of Between the Minutes will feature Inside Your Computer. This is similar to my newspaper article, Inside Your Computer, in the Philadelphia Public Record, discussing many interesting topics about computer security. Today we're going to talk about a serious danger on the Internet, which has also been a paradigm shift in how money is handled and a big benefit to your average consumer who's saving for retirement. What I'm talking about is online investment transactions. Even I do online investment transactions. Instead of paying some stockbroker a large fee every time I buy or sell a stock, I pay $6. Instead of having to call someone, sign papers, and general irritation, I have the pleasure of self-service. I do what I want, when I want, and I get to see the fruits of my labor anytime I want. As I said, a paradigm shift. Here's why it's a problem. There's a lot of these online investment accounts, and they normally hold somebody's life savings. That's a lot of money. Since they can be accessed via the Internet, that makes them very appealing targets to cyber crooks. The famous bank robber, Willie Sutton, would have explained it like this. It's where the money is, and they're just about giving it away. In reality, there's almost no protection for online financial transactions. The usual methods are not very effective. Here's how most transactions are protected today. First, you have to go to their website. The problem is that you have no way of actually knowing that you're at their website. If you clicked on a link in an email, the chances are good that you are not at the real website, but a copycat site that exists to steal money. You can look at your website browser address bar to see where you actually are, but the differences may be subtle. For example, if you wanted to go to mybank.com or were at nybank.com, would you notice? Most people would not. Secondly, websites are open to a type of attack called a DNS man-in-the-middle attack. A hostile program that is on your computer could cause this, or it could be caused by your internet service provider's DNS service being attacked. Let me make this clear. Even if your computer is clean and you do everything correctly, if your internet service provider's DNS server was hacked, you have no way of knowing if you're at your bank's website or a criminal lookalike. Looking at the address bar in this case is of no help, and you have no way of verifying the correctness of the DNS server. In fact, most people don't even know that DNS exists, but it's one of the most important services on the Internet. It's how a website address is converted into a number that connects your computer with a server on the network. The next level of protection is a type of encryption called SSL PKI PKE. While this sounds impressive, it's not. Our show host, CyberSoft Operating Corporation, demonstrated real-time cracking of this technology to the federal government in July 2003. The demonstration was instant and undetectable. It is why the federal government does not trust PKI-PKE for secrets. While not good enough for the government, our banking institutions have decided it's good enough for us. Mostly, they made this decision based on the most critical fact that it's free or close to it. The amount of protection provided by SSL is low, and I personally don't consider it real. I think of it as smoke and mirrors to placate the public and allow the banks to avoid their actual responsibilities. Let me make this very clear. In my opinion, the use of SSL instead of something that actually works is no less than a bank opening their doors, throwing the vault door open, and putting up a free take what you want sign. When I say banks, I'm not limiting myself. I include banks, stockbrokers, and anyone who processes money on the Internet. Some people may think my opinion's harsh. I think it's realistic. SSL encryption has little to no protection for the purposes of protecting financial transactions on the Internet. The last defense is your password. Here, the banks may have actually done a little work and made sure you didn't use the word password for the password. At one time, that was common. There are many ways of breaking passwords, but the crooks have come up with a better way. They install a Trojan software program on your computer that waits for you to go to a financial website, then transmits the address, your user ID, and password to the crooks. As far as the bank knows, they're you. This little trick also gets around the bother of setting up a lookalike website, hacking DNS, or cracking the SSL encryption. Easy pleasy, lemon squeezy. The crooks have everything needed to be you as far as the bank is concerned. At least here, there are things you can do. A good antivirus will protect you against most but not 100% of these threats. Nothing can protect you against 100% right now, but there is some technology in the future that looks like it might be a bit closer to that magic 100%. Again, CyberSoft Operating Corporation is one of the leaders in this new technology. What else can you do to protect yourself? It becomes hard, but you can educate yourself to detect some of these attacks. Here are a few of the suggestions from Mindy McDowell of the United States Computer Emergency Readiness Team. These are not exact quotes. I converted them into normal English and added some more information. You can visit the CERT website at www.us-cert.gov. Number one, many people set up fake or shell companies and try to get you to invest by sending out fancy emails and web pages. You can find out most of the truth at the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's Eggar database. To visit Eggar, go to our website, www.betweentheminutes.com, and press the links button on the orange bar. You will find the link there. Enter the company name and read their public filings. They can still lie, aka Bernie Madoff, but you might still catch less ambitious crooks. Number two, don't believe any financial information you read online. It is way too easy to fake, and good looking does not mean anything but a skilled artist. Number three, no one reads the privacy policies on websites because they are long and written in legalese. On the other hand, if you can find it, read it to see if they agree to not share your info. A crook will just lie, so there's not a lot of value here. Four, do not do financial transactions on any computer you do not own and control. Do not share that computer with anyone, especially children. Never use the wireless connection called Wi-Fi in public places, since it can be easily eavesdropped. Number five, while SSL is not much protection, it's better than nothing. After you enter the website, anywhere you have to enter private information such as your user ID and password, make sure the address bar changes so that the address starts with HTTPS instead of HTTP. Another way is to look at the bottom of the web browser bar for a padlock. The shackle on the padlock should be in the closed position. If one of these two things did not happen, call the website provider on the phone and ask for help. Number six, try to make sure the website is not a lookalike. This is not easy because it can be an exact copy, but look for anything that's out of place, especially words that are spelled wrong. Many of these crooks are from Eastern Europe or Asia and learned British English. They sometimes make spelling mistakes, especially if there's a spelling difference between American English and British English. Number seven, here is the big thing that you need to do. Look at your investments every day. If you see transactions that you didn't make, change your password immediately, then call your financial institution and inform them of fraud. Turn off your computer until you're informed it's safe. In addition, you should contact the police and others. You can get help from the Between the Minutes website on the links page. While very inconvenient, you consider using a difficult to guess password and changing it fairly often. Number eight, use antivirus. You can download a free demo of a Windows antivirus product by going to www.cyber.com and clicking on the offer. I generally do not suggest using totally free products for the simple reason that you get what you pay for. In this case, this is a demo, and it's a good product. Number nine, keep all of the software on your computer up to date with frequent updates. This is actually very important since many of the attack programs operate on flaws in software programs. Once these flaws are corrected, the attack software might not work. Number 10, Most web browsers have a configuration area called security settings. Make sure this is turned on and set to no less than medium. You can experiment with this setting to see what you can use and still accomplish what you want. In wrapping up this week's segment of Inside Your Computer, I hope some of the subjects I spoke about were helpful to you. Make sure you read my article, Inside Your Computer, every Thursday in the Philadelphia Public Record newspaper. We'll be right back with today's guest on Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Hi, this is Anthony Murphy, Executive Director of Townwatch Integrated Services.
And this is Pete Rodadio of Between the Minutes.
And Philadelphia needs you.
Who, me?
Yes, you, Pete. We need you to get involved in your community to impact on the quality of life where you live by starting or joining a Townwatch group.
Really? How do I do that?
You reach out to me at 215-686-1459, or you reach me on the web, www.townwatch.net.
Wow, so I can really join.
You can really join. We provide training, assistance, and support, and we try to address crime in a holistic approach to improve the quality of life where you live.
Wow, that's great. Sign me up.
Join us and become a member of the Philadelphia Townwatch program.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes, heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes. Joining us this week is Karen Brown, Republican candidate for mayor of Philadelphia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So tell all the listeners a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in Philadelphia. I've been here all my life. I raised three children here. I taught school for 23 years, eighth grade, math and science. Then I went to work for the city, and I saw what a shambles the city was in. So I decided to run for office, and I'm running as the first endorsed woman in the Republican Party for mayor of the fifth largest city in the United States.
Wow. Okay. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Our guest this week is Karen Brown, Republican candidate for mayor. Karen, I'm wondering, why in the midstream of the primary election would you change parties from Democrat to Republican?
I've been a mover and shaker behind politics for the past 27 years. I ran many politicians and believed in the system. And I was a Democrat, born and raised a Democrat. Union, born and raised as well, three generations building trades. So I believed in the system we had. But then when I seen the mockery that was being made of our Democratic Party, I knew it was time to move. So I moved to Republican Party, where they welcomed me with open arms and offered me to run not for council, but for mayor, where I can really make a difference for not only the unions, but the people, the schools. I want to get the schools back from the state, because I was a school teacher, and I see the shambles what we've done to our school system and the kids. Even if we do find jobs, and I will try to create jobs, that's part of my agenda, but what good is it if we have children that can't work them? If they can't read, they definitely can't work anywhere. So what good is it? So we need to take back a lot of things that we gave away. The school system is one of them, and that's what I want to do.
With the exception of a few magnet schools.
The charter schools and the magnet schools are phenomenal, don't get me wrong. And they're doing what should be done, and that's where the parents want to send them. But if you've ever been at a lottery and you've seen a kid that didn't get his number called and seen the stress on that mother's face because she has to send him to the neighborhood school, that should never be.
No, I agree. I mean, you're talking about the difference between being able to make a really good living and understanding the world and knowing what's going on and not.
That's exactly it.
And I mean, if you can't read, you're going to have a hard life.
And we have a 40% dropout rate. And of the 60 that graduate, half of them can't read.
Well, let me ask you, you know, do you think that this switch, I mean, the double switch from running for city council as a Democrat to running for mayor as a Republican is going to hurt you, help you, or nothing?
If my Democrat friends see past the fact that now I'm a Republican, they know who I am. The unions know who I am. I'm still the president of the Brotherhood, which is a union coalition, which we have meetings every 6 weeks whenever there's an issue in the House that needs to be addressed. So I'm still there for them. Yes, I'm a Republican and proud to be, because I was always a conservative Democrat anyway. So my philosophy leaned more towards the Republican Party than it did to them, because I'm not one to spend. I was a single mother raising three kids on a Catholic school salary. So I know how to do more with less. I don't like spending, and I don't like taxing, and I don't like overburdening our seniors. So I leaned more towards the Republican philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
But I can bridge the gap between the two. We have a Republican governor. Who better than a Republican mayor to work with him, get money from the state to put our city back on its feet and off its knees? And I can work with the council, the Democratic council, because 90% of them are my friends.
You mentioned your union.
Yes.
You're the president of something called the Brotherhood.
It's a union coalition. It was formulated by Joe Dock, who's the head of the ironworkers, and myself, to bring together union presidents when there's an issue in the House that could cripple the unions.
And you're the president of this association.
Yes, I am.
Are you also a union member?
I was a union member of 33 and 47.
Wow. As your family history is unionism?
My grandfather was a bricklayer. My father and brothers were glaziers. I have a brother-in-law who's a carpenter, a brother-in-law who's in the FOP. I have seven cousins that are firemen and about 30 others that are in the building trades.
Have you gone to the unions yet to tell them about your candidacy?
First thing I did before I even talked to Vito was to go to Joe Dock, because Joe Dock's like a father to me. And I asked his opinion, and he said to me, do it. We can use you more in the mayor's seat than we can in the council.
Wow. This is really impressive, because I have to tell you, looking at your website, the information you sent, I knew nothing about you, absolutely nothing. I just said, who's this? Okay, some person running for mayor, you know. But now I'm seeing that there's a real person here.
I ran for 27 years behind the scenes. I run state representatives, traffic court judges, Supreme Court judges, common pleas judges, MC judges, a couple council people. I've been behind the scenes of politics for 27 years. I've been in the city for 8, and I'm president of 3 civic associations, plus I'm on the board of 7 others.
What are the—wow, can you name them?
Yeah, Southbrook Civic is my baby. That's the one that we started from nothing. Off of that, we branched out YSO, which is a youth senior outreach. I'm the president of the Brotherhood, and I'm also on the board of Sunshine Arts. I'm on at the Epic Stakeholders, which was invented by Mayor Nutter to be a community service where he's supposed to be his ears and eyes of the community that he never meets with us, but he's supposed to be meeting with us. I am on the Lions Club, which deals with the deaf and the blind. I'm on South Philly Businessmen's Association, the CBTU, which is the Coalition of Black Union Tradesmen. I am on the I was on the Democratic Women's Committee, and now I'm on the Republican Women's Committee. I'm on the board of I'm the friend of the board of Point Breeze Civic Association. I am on the Coalition to Save Citizens Alliance. I'm on the Civic Engineers Board and Penn State Penn Action Group.
Wow. Did you leave anything out?
No, I don't think so.
Is there anything that could have been left out?
I may have left a few out, but I hope I didn't any. And hopefully, if I
Holy
did any,
smokes.
Forgive me.
Holy smokes. Oh, geez. Wow. If you get elected, what are you going to do?
First thing I'm going to do is ask for a 12-year audit. I want to know where our taxpayers' money went. Because obviously they found $65,000 to give Ramsey. So if there's hidden money out there, I want to give it to the firemen, the libraries, and the police. Because I want to make sure that our basic needs are addressed. And then I want to lobby all those state reps that I put in office to give me back my school district. I want it back because I literally want to get some retired school teachers. I want to close the school board, first of all. I think that's a joke. It's a mockery that they've made it a system that she's making more money. Ackerman's making more money than the president. Come on. How could she be worth more than Obama? So there's a problem there. If we've got kids in these schools that don't have books and they're sharing books, how are we able to afford $485,000 for her?
I don't know if you read the article. It was in the Philadelphia Inquirer a long, long time ago. And they did an audit of the Philadelphia school district and compared it to the Catholic school system in the city of Philadelphia. And the number of administrators, most of whom nobody knew what they did, significantly outnumbered the number of teachers. And then they called the archdiocese and they said, well, how many administrators, non-teaching people, do you have? And the paper went on to say, in the background, you heard him going, one, two, three. And it was like less than 10.
Yeah, and it's only 9. Because I taught in the archdiocese, there's 9.
Nine. And how many do you think are in the city of Philadelphia's school district?
I think it's close to 300.
300. Do you have any idea what the other 291 are doing?
I have no clue what all 300 of them are doing. They haven't been in the school system lately because if you go – we Southwark is my baby for a reason. We adopted Southwark School. This is how crazy this is. Southwark School is in South Philly. It's next to Bach. It never had a sign. It's been there for 200 years, never had a sign. Up in the top, when we asked the school board, because they wanted a sign, so we lobbied the school board to get a sign, they told me, if you look all the way at the top of the bricks, in about maybe 3 inches, you see the word scratched in Southwark. That's their sign. For the longest time, they thought it was annexed to Bach, and nobody could find, even the mailman couldn't find Southwark. So my civic group had to buy the school a sign. Are you kidding me?
You just destroyed a 200-year tradition of not having a sign.
Well, now you can find – the mailman can find the school.
Oh, why? The students can find the school.
They, you know what? They, if you go in that school, it is pathetic. They share books. They push the desk together and share a book because they're a bilingual school, and they each school is given a certain amount of money for books. So if you need to buy bilingual, you can't buy regular. So they have to share.
What about computers and science materials?
Their computer system, do you remember the old computers that the government gave away, those ones that have the keypads and the mouse that barely moves? That's what they have in there, and that's a grade school. So what are we doing to the young kids? I wonder why when they get into high school they can't read. You know, if you go into a charter school, it's completely different. So why is it that we're spending so much money to keep these schools afloat and we're not educating? I'm for the voucher system. Let us put a tag on these kids. You know how fast the school system will shake it up and actually become accountable because they may lose them?
Yeah.
So I want to see vouchers get passed.
Yeah, well, once there's risk and competition, then everything gets better. I mean, what will happen is the public schools will get substantially better, and then they will get better than the charter schools, and then the charter schools are going to have to address that. And what will happen is we'll come out from being at the bottom of the international education list to where we belong, which is near the top. We're number 2 on how much money we spend per student in the world, and we're in the bottom 20 on practically everything, and we're even worse on math and science. And I care a lot about education. I care a lot about reading comprehension, the ability to write, and about math and science. And what I'm seeing is that there's people coming out that their reading comprehension is extremely low, extremely low. I actually tried to teach a couple of people how to write coherent sentences, and I was surprised that that they didn't want to be bothered. They didn't feel it was necessary. And that's completely a failure of their parents and the educational system that they went to. I don't even know what educational system they went to. But this upsets me a lot.
You know, the state colleges have made a provision for the students of Pennsylvania to do summer school to learn how to write before they go into college classes because they can't write. They write like they text. They don't know how to put together a complete sentence, which is a shame. We've educated our kids to a point where they're useless. They're worrying about the state funding colleges and the fact that the budget was cut. Who's going to them? If we can't get our kids to read, who's filling these college seats? I would love the state colleges to be affordable, but we have to have kids to fill those seats. We don't have any. We have lost our youth. And until we take back those schools and make them competitive with that voucher system and with closing some of them that are not working, you know, they argue about the bullying in the school system. Part of the problem is you got kids that are in 11th grade that read on a second grade reading level. What do you want them to do besides kill each other? They can't read the book in front of them. So they're just taking up time. And there's no child left behind. Sorry, Eddie, it didn't work. Because we're leaving them behind. We're leaving them so far behind when they get out, they don't know where to go. The only thing open to them is the drug dealers because they can't hold a job. And it's me as a school teacher, that's one of my biggest priorities. I am going to address the business privilege tax because that's important too. And I'm going to sell off every property that the city owns. Those empty lots and buildings that we own, I'm going to get rid of them all. We're going to generate work through that, labor work. And we're going to generate places for employment because we need that income, but we need the schools.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things you might want to do, talk to Anthony Murphy at Town Watch about the school violence program. It's a really important program. It's a good program. Anthony Murphy cares. So you should talk to him about that.
I'm actually on, I forgot one of the groups I was on. I'm on the parent partner group, and that is that's a group that gets together and discusses different ways to create an atmosphere that will prevent the bullying from going on in schools. We concentrate mostly on Southern High because that's been the one that's been in papers all the time. They have the biggest problem over there. And I don't agree with what they're doing, putting more cops in security. That's not the way you reach a kid. You've got to find out what the problems are and try to resolve them.
Wow. You're listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM with Pete Rodotti. Our guest this week is Karen Brown, Republican candidate for mayor. If the voters in Philadelphia, you know, go for this, you've already said that you're going to, you know, fix the schools. Why do you think the last few mayors haven't?
They're so busy trying to do I used the word slim shading. Somebody said you should do special interest groups. They're making these backdoor deals for, I don't even know what they're spending the money on because I haven't been able to figure it out. But they're raising taxes, they're passing more bills on the small businesses. Nobody seems to care. I've never heard in council, and I've been going for 2 years, never heard them mentioning what was going on with the school system. I think because they gave it to the state, they believe it's not their problem. How could it not be their problem? Are the kids not an important part of the city? I don't get it.
Yeah, you're right. Listen, this is a live show, and you can call in. Pennsylvania, 610-667-9697. In New Jersey, 877-667-9697. Okay. In fact, I think we have a phone call. Why don't we take the call? Hello, caller. Are you there?
Petey.
Uh-oh, it's Aunt Edna.
How you doing, Petey boy?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you?
Not too bad, not too bad. Arthritis isn't kicking too bad today. Who are you interviewing there?
This is Karen Brown. She's listening. She's working towards running for mayor as Republican Party here in the
running
city of Philadelphia.
For mayor?
Yep, she wants to be mayor.
You're that go-getter, isn't she?
I don't know. Are you?
Yes, I am. I'm opening up that door for all women after me.
Good for you. You go, girl. Now, I don't know. Myself, I'd be running from being the mayor, but you go right into the fire there. Get that rifle and barge in there.
You know that women can multitask. That's what we need, a multitasker.
You bet. And so, you know, if we aren't born women, we're probably born octopuses.
There you go.
That's multitasking for you. Well, good luck to you, girl.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Edna.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. You're listening to Between the Minutes on 1540 AM and live on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. I'm your host, Pete Rodotti. We'll be right back with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes, heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to the show. Our guest is Karen Brown, Republican candidate for mayor of Philadelphia. So far, you're really impressing me because, I mean, you're going from, in my mind, you know, an unknown to somebody with real ideas, a real passion. I mean, this is very clear from the last 30 minutes that you have a real passion for this. Tell me, what else would you do besides the schools? What else would you do?
I want to make – we were the city of brotherly love. I don't know where the brotherly love went, but we need to get it back because we need to open up those doors again for the small businesses. We need to take – we need to repeal some of those taxes we put on them. The business privilege tax, we have to find a way to reform it or remove it. And we have to get rid of the gross wage tax and the net profit tax and now the medallion tax that they do on the trash. I mean, come on. You're making it so that any nut would not want to stay here. Why would you open up a business in Philly when you can go to Ben Salem and operate from Ben Salem and service Philadelphia? We have to make it so the businesses come back. We need to find ways to keep employment here, and the small businesses are one of them. So we have to make it so that we're brotherly love again, especially for the small businesses. So I'm going to – that's part of the audit. If I go through the budget and I see where the money is, I can divert the money where it needs to be, stop taxing three people. We need to find ways to keep people here and not tax them so they run away. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to find a way. And part of it is we need to, you know, it kills me that all the mayors before me have let the sports complexes not pay their full share to the city because they're afraid they're going to take the Phillies, the Flyers, the Sixers, and the Eagles and whatever and go across the river. Well, you know what? Go across the river because Philadelphia would watch two cockroaches playing ball. We can bring any team there. And that's exactly what I'm going to say to them. You know, they're not giving us a free ride, so why should we give them one? If they want to go, go. We'll find somebody else to play here.
Well, this isn't just a Philadelphia issue. This is a national issue. The pro sports have been taking advantage of the cities and the taxpayers forever. And it's just starting to turn around now, where some of the cities are starting to say, no, enough's enough. Unfortunately, we aren't.
You know? I'm gonna take all the money I can find and divert it where it needs to be.
Of course, you know the Phillies are going to vote against you now, the Philadelphia Phillies.
That's okay. And they never gave me free tickets anyway. I had to pay just like everybody else. I don't even want that mayor's box. They can keep it. Give me the money. I need the money to keep books in the school. I need the money to keep the seniors from having to decide whether or not to pay their property tax or get their medicine.
When you talk about, you know, cutting taxes and everything, the first thing everyone wants to know about is the basic services, police and firemen.
Under my watch, three most important things to me are that the firemen don't have brownouts, the policemen are fully funded, and the libraries are open. And I will find, you know, we have 26,000 empty buildings and lots. Why are we holding on to them? What are we waiting for? As far as I'm concerned, it's time to do an auction. It's time to sell those babies off and use that money to divert it where it needs to be. And our parking authority, how many tickets have you gotten? I've gotten plenty, and so have my kids. Where's that money going? I want to know because I want to divert it. It needs to be – I think we're sending money to the wrong places. The sheriff lost $55,000. Where did they get it from? Why is it we can't – they found it. They lost it. Well, where was it? Where did it come from? I want to know where this money is, and that's why I want to do an audit. I want to see where all the tax money comes in and where it goes from there. And I want to go back 12 years because 12 years ago we had a surplus. When Rendell left, we had money that was good. And then we had a recession. Don't get me wrong. I'm not discrediting that. But how do we go from $1.5 million to the good to $4.5 million to the bad?
Well, I can tell you what some people will say. Number one, the population is going down. Number two, the average income is going down. Number three, we're in an economic slump, the likes of which we haven't seen since the Great Depression.
So we got to turn it around. We got to bring jobs back. We got to repeal some of the taxes we put on the small businesses and bring them back.
Do you think you can create jobs in the middle of this economy?
Sure I can.
How?
Get rid of the, if we sell those buildings and create businesses and we make it so the businesses want to stay and we sell those buildings and get development going again in the city, we have to get contractors. And I want to get Philadelphia, Pennsylvania state contractors, people that live here to work here to help develop my city. The city, the Avenue of the Arts was started but never finished. University City was started and never finished. And what about our waterfront? You mean to tell me all we've got credit for is a casino and Walmart? Walmart's on a month-to-month lease. Goodbye. It needs to go. I want Baltimore Harbor here. That will generate tourism. That will bring money here.
Now, listen, I remember Baltimore Harbor before it became the Baltimore Harbor of today. It was, you know, an industrial dump. It was horrible. It's beautiful now. But you don't have to go more than six or seven blocks, and you're into, you know, poor. You're into buildings that are just barely, you know, being held together. And that's not just Baltimore. You know, Atlantic City's the same way.
Yeah.
You know, you get six blocks off the boardwalk, and you're looking at housing, and you're saying, where'd all the money go? You know, okay, fine. That they're not making big money right now, but they did. Where did it go? Why are these houses in such disrepair? Why are these people so desperate? How would that play out?
See, that's just it. Nobody, I'm going to be the type of mayor that security is going to hate because I want to walk through my city. And when I see a section that's not right, I'm going to ask those questions. Why? Where is the money that should have been designated for this part of the city not going? And the only, see, I was a math teacher. People lie. Numbers never do. You can see there's always a paper trail, especially in this day and age. There's no way to hide it. The sheriffs can't find that $55 million. I'll find it.
You never taught statistics, did you? You know, only a statistician could outlie everybody. I mean, statistics can lie easily. It's just a matter of how you ask the questions and then record the numbers and tabulate everything. But I understand your point. The point is that, you know, you're not really talking about anything fancy. You're talking about pluses and minuses. And, you know, they have to add up. They have to total.
They find the money when they need it. I mean, he found the money right away when he needed it for Ramsey. They find the money when they need it for Ackerman. Why is it that we cry poor, but yet when certain groups need certain money, we come up with it?
Were you just talking a few minutes ago during the break something about the firemen need some equipment?
The firemen lost their cancer fund. And that, believe it or not, we have firemen that their starting salary is $35,600. Who in their right mind, other than somebody who has a calling, would run into a blazing building for $35,600 today? You can't even pay a mortgage on that kind of income.
And what would you do about it?
First of all, I believe that they should have everything they need to work functionally, and they shouldn't be browned out. You know, they need, of course, a living increase. But, I mean, if we couldn't afford to do that, at least we can do is make sure all the medical needs that they ever have are addressed through their benefits. We shouldn't be cutting their benefits because without them, we have no safe city. They are the most crucial, besides the cops, in our city. How could you cut something that everybody, there's not a person here, needs? And how could you put them in such harm's way? I don't get it.
Wow. Well, I agree. I mean, this is a work-related issue. They should be compensated for it. They should be taken care of. They're, you know, risking their lives for us.
Well, they say it's too costly. But, I mean, they put the cost of their life on the line every time they go into a building. And they do it for not – I mean, Catholic school teachers, firemen, and cops are the least paid in this city. The trash men make more than we do. They start at 56.
Wow. Of course, it's pretty hard to find people willing to be trashmen. It's, you don't have a calling of, you know, when I grow up, I think I'll be a trash collector. No, you know, it's the money. That's
but it's the meaning that we pay more for nothing against the trashmen. They do their job, and they're entitled to their wages. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, they keep the city clean.
Yeah. Yeah, in some sections.
Okay.
There are sections in Center City who want to know if I'll bring back the street cleaners. They don't think the trashmen keep it totally clean. But, I mean, they do with what they can. And I'm not begrudging them, but I'm saying the firemen are the most crucial part of our society, and yet we pay them the least and cut their benefits to a point where, are you kidding me? I wonder why we don't have too many callings for firemen. Firemen and cops, they literally every day lay their lives, lay their hands in in harm's way just to provide a safe street for us. How
wow.
could we be? How could we begrudge them anything?
Well, I think it's very hard to argue against that. I think the current administration basically is saying they don't want to begrudge them. They just don't have the money. But you're saying the money's really there.
The money is there. He found the money to – he found special interest groups to help finish the project they're doing with the library. They're expanding the main library, yet they're closing the neighborhood ones. That's ridiculous too. I mean, who can afford to go to the main library other than those that live there? Or I mean, you can't afford to go there. You can't afford to park up there. And if you're not working, you're not taking public transportation. So why are you going to a main library? But they're expanding it. He found money for that. And the current mayor found money when he first came in. They're bringing the orchestra there every summer so that when the people ate outside, they were serenaded by the Philadelphia Orchestra. He found money to do movies on Friday nights. Come watch the movie with the mayor in City Hall Courtyard. Who's going there on a Friday night watching the movies? But we're spending money on stupid things. We're spending money on keeping Ramsey. And nothing against him. He's phenomenal. But if we don't have money, let him go. They had somebody ready to take his place. You have to use the money wisely. We have the money. They're just not using it wisely. And we need to put it in our core services like the firemen, the police, and the libraries. We have to keep the kids educated. We have to keep the streets safe. And I don't want to be dying in a fire because we're not spending the money we need.
Yeah. What else is on your agenda?
On my agenda is a lot of things. I want to actually take the charter. The charter hasn't been revamped in 16 years. I want to sit down with council and try to make it actually an even playing field because council right now is crippled. They can't really pass a bill because the way it's set up, the mayor has more control than they do. You know, we left England because we didn't want kings. We kind of brought them with us.
Yeah. What about the bus privilege tax that's in city council right now? What do you think of that?
You know, that's something that there's a lot going on with the whole bus system because I don't know if you know about I'm on the board of RAGE, and I forgot to give them their kudos, too. RAGE is a transgender group that's trying to get a transgender pass, and SEPTA is, I shouldn't say boycotting it, but just putting it on the back burner for many, many days now.
Why would anybody care? You're talking about riding a bus, not...
Money. You know, if we have a transgender pass, and I can give you my pass and you can use it. You know, so they don't want to... Many states have done it, many cities have done it, but yet Philadelphia is slacking on it. They just don't want to do it. There's a lot of issues going on with the bus, and my husband is actually, he's part of 234, TWU. So that's a major issue with them as well. They, the city is always looking at cost things, but they don't look at it from the perspective of the people that are giving them the money. That's us. You know, they forget the fact that they are the employee and we're the employer.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM. You can also friend us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/BTM Radio. More of Between the Minutes next on Radio 1540 AM.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Looking to increase your business and build your selling power? Then you should advertise on Between the Minutes, the Tri-State's newest political, business, and special interest radio talk show, Between the Minutes, heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. on Radio 1540 AM. For more information, call 610-828-8333. That's 610-828-8333. Or email sales@betweentheminutes.com.
America's men and women in uniform sacrifice every day for our country so we can continue to do the things we enjoy most, like playing soccer with our kids. But that's not an option for some families. I'm Devin McTavish, D.C. United Defender and two-time Humanitarian of the Year. For more than 140 years, the Armed Services YMCA has provided support for military families. Please join the ASYMCA in taking care of our soldiers' loved ones so they can continue to take care of us.
The Armed Services YMCA, serving those who serve America. ASYMCA.org.
Hi, this is Pete Rodotti, your host on Between the Minutes, thanking you for listening to our show. Let's talk about CyberSoft Operating Corporation. CyberSoft has always stood for integrity, quality, and cost-effectiveness in computer security. CyberSoft invented antivirus for Unix and Linux systems. With 20 years' experience, they support more systems than anyone, including Microsoft Windows. Computer security problems are not single-faceted, and your solution should not be either. CyberSoft products like the VFine Security Toolkit include cryptographic baseline management in addition to a virus scanner. This allows you to detect more than just a software attack. For a limited time, you can purchase a one-year Windows antivirus security license for $24.95. In any computer security fight with the bad guys, we will be the last man standing. Call 610-825-4748 or visit our website at www.cyber.com. Again, that's 610-825-4748 or www.cyber.com.
The multicultural voice of the Delaware Valley, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
The Tri-State Area's radio talk show, Between the Minutes, continues on Radio 1540 AM with your host, Peter Rodotti.
Welcome back to Between the Minutes, the Tri-State Area's new radio talk show featuring politicians, business people, and professionals. Between the Minutes is brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. For the best in antivirus security, go to www.cyber.com. Let's get back to today's show and guest on Between the Minutes. Joining us this week is Karen Brown, Republican candidate for mayor of Philadelphia. So far, you're really impressing me, so let's keep talking about this. You were during the break, you were mentioning some other organizations you left out. You want to talk about them?
Yeah, I do a lot with David O. and Chris Hill and Pat Murphy and also Janie Blackwell. We do a stand down for the vets. I also help out with Broad Street Ministries and actually anything the vets need. I'm a big helper. I actually help Commissioner Howard. He's the head of the Veterans Administration. I believe that the vets, they're another group that we forget. They go over, they give up their life to serve for us. And when they come back, it's like they're the forgotten group. That's one thing the unions didn't forget. They go from helmets to hard hats. They will make room, even in this economic downslide, they'll find room for a vet when he comes back, and they'll find work for him because they believe in giving them their kudos. And Councilman Greenlee, of all the councilmen, is the only one working for those vets that got their houses robbed while they were over there. Remember that group that was going around stealing the deeds on the homes? He's the only council person that really cared enough to take on that action. And he fights for these vets when they come back to help them get back their homes.
Wow. That's amazing. Let's talk about your campaign a little bit because it's getting close to the end of the hour. It's gone very quickly.
I want to tell you something. You had asked me about how I was going to get jobs, and then you mentioned something about SEPTA. You know, there was a plan in the works and got stopped. I want to actually develop SEPTA's line so it goes down to the waterfront into the Navy Yard. I want to reopen 42nd Street and put a stop on 22nd Street, and I want to see the L go from Bridge Street all the way to Woodhaven.
How will that create jobs other than, you know, a little bit of construction on the L?
Well, it'll definitely increase. SEPTA's going to need to hire people. And we're going to have to, and I'm going to have to lobby the state to give us the money to do it. But it'll actually increase people spending more money on that transit line. It'll increase people getting more jobs because SEPTA's going to have to hire more people to fill these stations. It'll give labor and all the unions work to do. So everybody wins on this one. And it makes the city more accessible for people that come here.
And then if you sell off all those buildings and those are office buildings, they go from vacant to hopefully people putting in offices.
I don't want to see empty buildings and lots. Why are we bothering? I mean, we need to generate them and get rid of them. Why is the city holding on to them? What value is it for us to hold on to them?
None. It's an asset that's not producing anything.
We can produce it. There's so many different things we can do with these buildings. We need to generate them now. I want to go from 26,000 and in 4 years to zero. I don't want to own a one.
I applaud you. I mean, it makes sense because not only do you get them off of your books, generate money, but they become something that can be taxed and a place where businesses can start. And if you're auctioning them off, they might go low enough to encourage small businesses.
That's exactly what I want to do. I want to make this a city of brotherly love for small businesses.
Wow. Well, small businesses do employ 80% of all Americans, so it's a good plan. If somebody wants to support you, where's your campaign headquarters?
1713 Wolf. And it's in South Philly. It's 19147.
And is there a phone number there?
Actually, we do. We have 215-279-7210. We have a website. It's
www.karenbrownmayor.com. www.karenbrownmayor.com.
Yeah, I'm already assuming the job. I told Michael I was going to pull an Obama. I told him when he lost his job, I would hire him back like he hired Hillary.
Oh, my.
I went to school with his sister, so it should be funny.
You really are well connected.
Yes.
And you have real ideas.
I believe in the city. I just think we've let it go on its knees for too long. We need to get it back on its feet.
Why aren't you getting more media attention?
I'm a woman. Unfortunately, I
think... Oh, come on.
Well, you know what? The radio has been phenomenal. It's the press. The newspapers have ignored me, I think, because it's been a good old boys for so long. I think they're afraid if a woman gets in. I don't know what they're afraid of because I've been, they knew me before. They don't know me now. It's when I was always in the paper with my civic groups. And with the exception of the Public Record and the Germantown News in the Northeast, I live in South Philly and the South Philly papers aren't covering me. Isn't that a joke? Germantown News, Northeast Times, and the Star, which is in Port Richmond where I used to teach, are the only ones covering me. The South Philly papers, where I live, don't even know I exist. Yet, if you go down Broad Street, you'll see my signs from Argan Avenue all the way to Center City.
Wow. Well, hopefully you can get some more media, and maybe this radio show will be the beginning of some of it for you.
You've been a pleasure, truly. Thank you so much for having me. The radio has been phenomenal for me.
And guess what? I'm just being told that we're going to be rebroadcast at 6 o'clock, so you'll have an opportunity to hear it.
Thank you.
And anyone who wants to can go to our website, www.betweentheminutes.com, and listen to this show. And, wow, you've been a fantastic guest so far. We still have some more time left.
You know, Fox 29 was the only TV station, and PCN, because I'm a faithful watcher of them, are the only ones that ever even wanted to know I was out there.
Well, that's why when you first came in, I said, I didn't know you. I didn't know anything about you.
I'm a well-kept secret.
Okay, all right. Well, hopefully you're not so well kept as a secret now, and hopefully you'll start getting more media attention. I mean, if I was you, I would go knock on the doors, and I would start with the most important paper in the city, which is Jimmy Tyune's Public Record.
He's been like a father to me as well, because I'm in the paper all the time. That Public Record, there's not an issue that I'm not in. He makes sure that I'm in every one of them. And he's been getting me out there. And I have been knocking on doors, but not on the newspapers. I've been knocking on the voters' doors. I've been going from one end of the city to the other and actually meeting and greeting people. We walk through Center City and we talk to the policemen, the firemen, whoever we say. I literally walked, we went from Center City to the subway where the cop was going home, and we were on the same subway, so we walked and talked all the way home. I want to hear what the voters really need, and that's how I develop what we need, because that's what it should be. It's about them. It's not about us.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to get more media attention now?
I'm hoping. I don't know what I have to do to get it, but I mean, I'm hoping.
I don't know either. I'm sorry. Anyway.
I need to come on here more.
Well, Maybe. You have to talk to Frank Cicciamabla. He's the executive producer.
We should get Michael in here. We could have the two of us go back to back.
Okay. Anyway, we still have 1 minute left. Tell me one last thing. Why should I vote for you?
It's time for a change. You know, look at the utopia we're in now. Can't get any worse. So you got to give me a shot to get in and prove what I can do. And then if you don't like what you see after 4 years, vote me out. But at least give me the shot, because I can't do any worse than what we have now. And if we keep going the way we are, we might as well all move to Jersey, because there ain't going to be anything left here. It's going to be a wasteland. Camden looks pretty good from the other side, don't it?
The soil's too sandy over there. I don't like it. I don't know.
They have a better waterfront than we do, though. You could actually look, and it looks pretty nice.
Yeah, that's true. You know, you're right about that.
You stand in front of Walmart and look at Camden, it looks pretty good. That's a shame.
That is a shame. That really is a shame. Thank you for listening to Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM and on the web at www.betweentheminutes.com. Brought to you by CyberSoft Operating Corporation. We'll be back next week with more of Between the Minutes on Radio 1540 AM.
The preceding program was brought to you by the CyberSoft Operating Corporation.
Thank you for listening to New World Radio, AM 1540, WNWR, Philadelphia.
Man, this sweet tea from McDonald's is the real deal. We got to put folks onto this.
I'm going to post it on Twitter.
You going to send a sweet tea tweet?
I'm going to send a Mickey D's sweet tea a straight up legit tweet.
Man, I'm going to retweet that sweet tea tweet all up and down the street.
Okay, now you just tripping.
Spread that sweet tea love to your social network. Right now, get 32 ice cold ounces of refreshing sweet tea for just $1 at McDonald's. Price and participation may vary. 32 ounces refers to average contents filled.
This is Shari. Right now, she's texting, talking, and updating her status, all while on her way to meet friends for lunch. And these are her friends. But there's one thing that gets their full focus. The arresting, mouth-watering flavor of McDonald's burgers. Like the tangy taste of Big Mac, the beefy, cheesy, beefy double quarter pounder with cheese, and the lip-smacking flavor of an Angus third pounder. All that deliciousness commands their full attention. Yours, too. The simple joy of being wrapped up in flavor. At participating McDonald's.
Recent increases in smuggling are putting American food sources at risk. People and businesses are smuggling live birds and poultry products to sell online, in specialty groceries or outdoor markets. They may think they are simply catering to their customers' tastes, but what they are really importing is trouble. Importing outside USDA safeguards is not only illegal, it threatens American food production. Smuggled poultry products or smuggled birds can bring in diseases, such as exotic Newcastle disease or avian influenza, bird flu, into the U.S. We need your help to make sure that what is grown and raised here stays safe from foreign pests and disease. If you suspect a business is importing or selling illegal birds or poultry products, call the Agriculture Hotline at 1-800-877-3835. You can make an anonymous report or find out exactly which products are prohibited. America's food supply is too important to let smugglers put it at risk. Report smuggled birds and poultry products.
A message from the United States Department of Agriculture.